So the speech I will give is actually very similar to the two before. In ITER, since about 2 or 3 years, we are starting to develop web applications. I found also the talk today from Spain very interesting about the SYN clients, because what we have done is largely motivated by the fact that we went into one extreme area and we want to see how far we can get, that we want to do as much as possible through web technologies. With a similar motivation, I think the Spanish approach is a little bit more of a compromise. Here we have pushed as much as possible on the browser functionality. If possible, even on many applications, even simple HTML, although we are now moving a little bit more onto some advanced features. So now that the thing has come up, let me start with the ITER software approach. And generally, our approach is that we use available commercial, or I should say use commercial software whenever practical. So certainly we use MS Office, Outlook, Engineering Codes, ANSYS, MCMP, Mailcore. Okay, two of them are non-commercial. In the CAD area, we are also using commercial codes, also our virus wall, firewall, also. My approach is always, if you get something off the shelf, typically the commercial solutions give you the least trouble because they are designed to be easy to administrate. We use open source framework if special needs or flexibility is needed, because I can also give the opposite. We also have the opposite experience, mostly with CAD, with CATIA and the VPM, where it is a real nightmare to customize this. I mean, this needs an enormous effort. It's enormous. I mean, you don't want to know how much money we spend in customizing Anovia. We don't have the source code. It is very badly documented. And it's so for those cases, if possible, here the open source model shows its full strength. So if we have to heavily customize anyway, then open source is a very good alternative. And examples where this has been, I think, applied quite successful is the ITER Document Management System, IDM, where we used the ZOAP framework, and which is based on Python. It is a little bit more advanced, a more richer framework than Apache and MySQL. And at least our experience so far with the naked ZOAP is a very good one. We have also used, I must say, maybe I used this opportunity to make that remark, which I also did last year in Budapest. I see that a lot of Java is used in many of your frameworks. For ITER, we have also started with Java, but then we made a very fundamental decision not to use Java anymore because of some licensing agreements. Java is not open source. And they have a very nasty statement in their license agreement that it is not allowed to use Java for any design, operation, and so on of nuclear facilities, which ITER definitely will be. So I don't want to run the risk that a lot of development is done and then suddenly we end up in a court case where we are forbidden to use all that. With open source, this is not possible because open source frameworks typically have a non-discrimination clause, so which essentially says that nobody can be denied the right to use that software. A good example is, let's say, pro and contra of abortion rights. I mean, they can both use Apache servers. I mean, the right wing or the left wing feminists. I mean, they open source should stay out of that discussion. And with Java, unfortunately, this is not the case. So we use also ZOAP, Python, because it was so successful for the document management, for our content management, which is, I think, it has also some of the wiki features which were discussed before. We try to avoid isolated in-house development, which I also see here that, I mean, we try to set heavily on standards, HTML, XML, and so on. We use these frameworks which come with a lot of features which we don't have to program. Plus, we have a certain tendency to use web application service and standard as much as possible Because my opinion is that this is by far the best for distributed teams. If I have teams in Korea or in China where there are large groups and I can, all I have to send them by email is a link to a web application. This is much, much more easier than to install client software on their sites. So what we use are the standards HTTP, you know, or that XML, SQL, for services, XML, RPC. And as a programming language, we have sort of settled down as a scripting language for fast development on Python, which is also fully platform-independent, object-oriented scripting language and can be linked to C++ if needed. Okay, web tools, why? Again, no client installation, use of R. Another big thing is, and that was also discussed on this wiki for EFTA, you always come to a conclusion if you want to have security built in that you need a database. And as I said during lunchtime, you should be aware that where ITER is going, we developing, like I think Jet has said too, we just do it. We develop a common user database. If you want to become an external collaborator of ITER, it's a very simple process. You need one contact point in the ITER team and you will get a username and a password and you are known to the system and can use our services. This common database will be used for various systems. Once you are known to that system, you can use discussion forums, news, document management, CATIA database and so on. It is accessible from almost anywhere where a network connection is there and works, and it should be used not only for data. That is important. We want to go beyond that. We also want to use it for workflow, electronic signatures and the like. And it's clear that if you want to use electronic signatures, then you have to know the individual users. Page down. Okay. So a typical web page application is shown here. As used so far in ITER, that we started already in an effort, I think, which started actually at CA Katarash by John Howe and Akko Maas, is based on static pages. So this is only data, but it was developed very quickly, and I think it's quite useful. You find an enormous database on these static web pages. Then the next step was the ITER document management. Again, it's used only by an internet browser. It has a powerful search capability built in. All documents. Documents for me are now Word, Excel, PDF files, typically. Can be or something else. People now use it also for ANSYS analysis files to set a certain standard. The system has a versioning capability, so old obsolete files are kept for traceability so that you really know what was published in the past. It is intuitive to use. Intuitive means that it's similar to the Windows operating system. I mean, we try to be, it should be Explorer-like, although the Linux, Conqueror, and Macintosh have also similar systems. As I said, it should have an integrated workflow, and security settings are very flexible in our system, and important that it is not us, the administrator, who sets security rules. In IDM, we have managed it, that the user in your folder, you can set your own security rules as you like through the web browser. You can actually create your own groups and put people in and out and give them read or write access. Then the whole system has also a history, what has been uploaded, signed, reviewed, and so on. And it, also emails can be sent, and a history will be a trace that a certain email has been sent from the system. All of that was with QA in mind. Implementation, we use an open source toolkit for a web application called Zope. It has, I think, the strong features. It has a separation of the data, and for document management, it's binaries, Word files, PDFs, metadata, the presentation, logic, all of that is kept apart in different files. Security and user management is built in. I don't have to do all that. I mean, I'm really using plugins, and it's way above what we could actually program in a secure way. So we're using HTTP, blah, blah, blah. But also the access, the machinery, how this is then translated into access of the machine is given by the framework. The advanced search engine is built in. It has a full text index for Word and PDF. Clear, I don't write such an search engine. It can connect to external databases like Oracle or MySQL, and it is fully customizable because it has a general-purpose computer language, Python, behind it. So, possibly you could add on to that system everything you like. So if you log in, it looks like this. Those people who know will know it. I mean, if you log in, your name appears, and then you can, it essentially looks on the web a little bit like the Explorer, but there are certain workflow buttons. Here, for example, you cannot upload a new file because on the top-level folder there are no write access for this user. So you always see on each page you get the bottoms which indicate to you what you're allowed to use. Here is where responsible officers, I mean, folders have responsible officers. Each user has a user folder. In your user folder, you are the responsible officer. And the responsible officer can set security settings. And this looks like this simple page. And you see this is basic HTML. It's not very fancy, but very effective. There is a list of groups which are defined. And on the bottom, you can see here even a local group. So in each folder, you can define your own groups. And this was an example IDM team. And one can then add people to that group and give them special write permission in these folders. The workflow is you upload a new document into IDM. It has a low status in work for, let's say, you have a draft version. Then you, as an author, you can sign the document. That means that other people may take it more serious. It can be locked by reviewer's approval. I don't like this locker mechanism, and I think it's hardly really used. What is important is that there is a review process, and the reviewer can give comments and give their final recommendations for approval, and then finally the approver can approve it. The approver is, strictly speaking, in ITER right now, someone in the line management, and that is what I also discussed in the authorization thing. If you ask for an IDM for an account in ITER, we need that ITER contact person because that contact person will be sort of your sponsor. So that contact person plus the line management of that contact person could be then the approver for you, which shows a fundamental problem, really, about these puppy systems, if we wanted to apply that. So versions, new versions are part of the document. New version become normally, there's always, if you have many versions of documents, there's always one current version. One is the version which is the most appropriate one. It is not necessarily the newest one. It is only the newest one if the status is identical than the older. It's something like in the software development. I mean, you know that there is a stable release and you can have alpha beta versions on top of it. Usage by external organization. External organizations can actually choose now to also use IDM, and we have promoted that for the large organization. We have two test cases, one for Karlsruhe, one for EFTA. And these organizations, I mean, EFTA, I mean, then the technical branch of EFTA in Garching, they would get a separate folder tree. They would not see the top-level folder tree of ITER. They would see their own folder tree, which they define. The approval by documents is then by the head of the organization or organizational group leaders, which have to be defined by, let's say, EFTA. They will get an IDM number, which is unique. The numbering system which they will get is not colliding with the ITER. I mean, if you have one number there, you will find your document always in the database. The access read-write is under full control of the organization. So if EFTA has some folders where they don't grant the ITER project read access, ITER doesn't see that folder. And right now, but for technical reasons, there's not a dedicated server. So all feature, we have not decided to split the servers for the organization. So they don't use the software. They even use the same server in that case. The advantage is that all feature improvements are immediately available to everybody and that the backup and software maintenance is done centrally. And to give you an example how it looks like in EFTA, here you see the web address and the root folder looks also quite different in case of EFTA, clearly where they are mostly organized according to their working programs. And that is a statistic. We also keep a statistic about the amount of documents uploaded. We had in the past a document management system where you see here the peak. That was a large ITER design in 98. Then you have a small peak here in 2001. That was a small ITER managed by a much smaller design team. And here you see a steep increase now of the document, of the documents loaded into the system. And you can say that is connected to the construction decision, but my view is that it's more connected to the fact that now it's a web-based system. It's much easier to use. And the number of users are, I've written down that here the number of users, registered users right now, 700 from all 7 ITER parties. And we strongly encourage that everybody who's interested to working with ITER directly should try to get an account. And that also gives you access to all our documentation base. Then the next step is the content management. The document management is one base, and it's good to have a good base. And content management is more the database-centric web applications, which we have also heard before. What I've learned also last year from Budapest, from this conference, was a strong preference for data-centric approaches, and I was quite convinced of that. I brought this back. And we have actually redesigned our system such that we have an even stronger separation of what is our data and the application. So the content for me is, in an abstract sense, could be a document and the metadata of it. It could be also what we call in ITER a design change request. There's a certain form which we have to fill out. Could be issue cards. In ITER we have issues, things which are, okay, which are issues. Let's say the first wall design is not correct or so. We have something like a risk management, but also such trivial things like calendars. So content can be almost anything of useful data for the ITER project. And we define these data structures now always as an XML structure. So we start with an XML structure, and there are always some generic features of the structure, something like you want to have a versioning of this content, you want to have a history, you want to have a unique ID such that you can find it in a database easily. The dates, when was it generated, and basic security, who can look at these contents and so on. And the status, is it approved, is it in work, and so on. So these are more generic settings, and then there are content specifics, which I cannot give examples. I mean, for a calendar, it would be the date and the what is happening and so on. And these XML documents, XML here has a strong feature of being quite flexible and extensible. And these XML documents we store in a MySQL database, which is also standard and has all the strengths which otherwise MySQL would not have. It is fast, and if you have a simple table, you cannot beat the speed of an SQL database and search queries and so on. The nastiness of the SQL database is that you have to push everything into a table. We sort of overcome by putting all the complex structures of our content into XML, and we take the speed from SQL. I like this combination. And this is sort of that is where we store all our content. So in principle, if we now would change our content management, let's say instead of Zope, we would go to .NET or PHP or God knows what. We can do that without migrating the data. That was the idea, that we allow also a change or an addition. It cannot be only a change. Maybe we continue to use Zope for workflow and the view and application. These are application-dependent things. But it could be also that other applications actually grab that. And I think in Budapest last year, in the US framework, it was shown on some logbooks, electronic logbooks, which were then also used for display. Here the idea is the same. Maybe India or somebody else here in EFTA may write an application using ITER data, and that may be possible. So you grab the XML and data and do something which is more specific for you. So we don't want to force anybody into the Zope solution, although we like it very much. We have picked an editor in our Zope framework. I think it's an Ajax. Could be maybe also implemented somewhere else. It looks like Word, and it works largely like Word. I mean, you don't have to learn anything new. There's no HTML, like nothing. You type in almost of what we are used. So you don't need any knowledge of HTML. You have to, don't have to learn anything. We can add calendars. We can add forums and news. So my position is that with the current technical website we have developed, this is actually fulfilling all the needs also of a wiki page. I mean, for us, there is no need to create a new wiki page. We can add all that. We have official ITA work breakdown structure areas where responsible officers are defined and they can create or move content from their user folders or create it directly. And ITA member can link to sophisticated web content on their public folders on the ITA file server. Actually, your content, if you have already an HTML page, our editor, you can click a source button and then you can type in HTML directly. It's also possible with copy and paste, and then it does whatever sophistication you have done. So, I mean, I don't want to be too enthusiastic, but I call this democratization of the ITA technical website. We want to allow as many people as possible to really put content on the website. So, conclusion. Currently, this is all brand new, what I'm talking to you, which is right now, I mean, it's productive, roughly since 4 weeks, and we will gradually show it. The user database is the same as for the document management. The document management is already productive 2 years. So the 700 users which we have collected there will be automatically be full, also users can be full users of this technical web page. So currently, as a conclusion, we have static web pages on technical sites. This is also very useful. I mean, one should not underestimate that. Full access to the ITA data. We have an ITA document management system as a first web application. Right now, the technical website, you know, John Howe, the master of, refuses to take any more documents in it. You can put contents in, but if you have a document, he always points, put it in the document management system, and on the technical website, you put a hyperlink to that, which is a nice way. Also in emails, typically emails should only contain the link to the document. You shouldn't send the document, the documents themselves around. Then we have a brand new development, I think, which is now finally coming to production. It's a web-based content management system, which we really redesigned after the last Budapest conference. We made it data-centric. I really liked that one, so that whenever we change direction or we want to extend it, we don't have to migrate data. So the database is on XML and SQL. I think that's a very base. I hope we don't have to change this. And then whatever you data, you can either this data or make a workflow by this data, station dependent thing. And our current implementation is with SOAP, but other alternative or parallel implementations are possible.
Thank you.